RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score, hanging out with you guys till 9 o'clock. And ladies, taking some phone calls. I don't know, today seems like a tipping point for me. After talking to Tyvis Powell, and just thinking back to all my conversations with current and former football players in the NFL, and they're all just looking at me and telling me, like, you're crazy. I am the only one that's going against the grain of current and former football players. And that right there, after Tyvis Powell was just so adamant, at like, nah, I think you need to build around him. I'm like, damn, am I wrong? Are my eyes wrong? Am I going too hard on what I think, and I don't have enough foresight? Today's the first day I've actually thought like that. And I want to take some phone calls before we get to Corey Wooten to just, you know, check the temperature. Nothing wrong with that. This is your station. You get a chance to give your opinion as well. And that's what we're doing. 312-644-6767. Let's go to John first. John, so you think Fields, talk to me about what you think about Justin Fields.
So I think you have to kind of look at it through two different lenses. So he's on a rookie deal right now, and I feel like for all his deficiencies, I still think we're getting a lot of bang for our buck. But I feel like if you get a new contract and you're making, you know, $30, $20 million a year, that a lot of those deficiencies are going to have to go away, and you're going to have to start playing up to that contract. So do I think he's there right now? Probably not. But, like, I think I'd still like to see him and take a gamble with a big contract and see if he can refine that.
John, doesn't that sound scary? Like, when you're talking about giving him a big contract and still being like, I hope he lives up to it. Like, if you're pissed, if you're on the fence now, imagine when you've given that guy that much money a year and you're like, oh my God, we're giving this guy this much money to be a middle of the road quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, it scares me a little bit, but at the same time, you know, I think I really love Justin Fields, and that's what maybe Fair. The Chicago home in me. But, you know, I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback like him in Chicago.
And John, how old are you? John, how old are you?
Oh, I'm 26.
Yeah. You sound like me with Mitch Trubisky. That's what you really yeah. That's what you really sound like. Like me a couple of years, you know, 6-7 years ago, young, you know, loving Mitch Trubisky and drinking the Trubisky whiskey. It's like, I get it. You're 26. I would love Justin Fields as much too, but I've been hurt and my eyes have seen some football. But, you know, John, you're with the majority. I want to be very clear. You're with the majority. I talk to these football players all the time. And the funniest thing is, and then I'm the idiot analyst that's like, yeah, no, I'm ready to move on from Justin. And all these football players looking at me like, that's why you're an analyst and you never played. And I know what's up. I'm like, oh my God. It's all hitting me. Let's go to Mike from Geneva. Mike, talk to me.
Hey, I was just thinking about it since we're playing the Browns. Would you rather have Deshaun Watson or Justin Fields? Kind of put the off-the-field stuff aside with Watson.
Yeah, it's tough to do that, but I hear what you're saying. I would tell you this, Mike. I would have rather have had a Deshaun Watson than a Mitchell Trubisky and still been riding that thing out.
Oh, shit. Yeah, absolutely.
Watch your mouth, Mike. But I do agree that, you know, I would rather have a Deshaun Watson than a Mitchell Trubisky. Would I rather have a Deshaun Watson than a Justin Fields? Assuming they're both healthy. Yeah, it's going to sound like I'm hating. It's going to sound like it. Just make sure you say bye to him. As long as if Deshaun's healthy and like if Deshaun's healthy and I don't have to worry about, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like now I'm in a worse position than I've ever been when it comes to my opinion. Because these are all great questions. Deshaun Watson or Justin Fields? Oh, my God. You can really debate that all day. And then you could throw in C, neither, and I want to draft a quarterback next year with the number one pick. I don't want Deshaun or Justin. I'd rather take one more swing at the fence. Mike, thanks for the call, man. I really genuinely appreciate it. Let's go to Jim from Bloomingdale, Tyler. Jim from Bloomingdale, talk to me about what your overview of the season is.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
First of all, what quarterback is more athletic than Fields? Number two, let's go back to the beginning of the year. At the first three games, he had no offensive line. The defense was atrocious, everything. Okay? And now he's playing, look at Denver. He's all pro when we played Denver. Washington, doing good. How many games can you sit there and honestly say we lost because of the quarterback? And how many games did we lose because of the play calling?
Appreciate the call, Jim. No, hold on. I appreciate the call, Jim. Let's go to what you're saying. Sorry, who's more athletic than Justin? If I have to answer that question, then you have to answer the other five. Like, who's a better, pocket passer than Justin? Who can read defenses better than Justin? Who can throw a better ball than Justin? Who can process things better than Justin? Who can pick up blitzes better than, you know what I mean? Like, if I have to answer your who's more athletic, then we can't just stop there. We'd have to ask all the other questions as well. And then you pointed to the Denver game, and you're like, well, who loves Justin? I mean, he had, I think it was three opportunities in that Denver game to either create distance or come ahead at the very end. Listen, it's a great conversation, and that's why we're having it, right? Like that's why the city is divided right now when it comes to Justin Fields. And I realize that I'm in these last couple of calls, maybe I haven't been doing a good enough job of, how do I say it? Not trying to impose my opinion on you, right? I don't want to change your mind. I want to have a debate, and I think that's I got to be better at that in these next couple of calls. Let's go to John Altenworth. John, you know, the last caller just called in and was talking about the offensive line, but wasn't that the excuse 2 years ago, right? Like not having weapons and not having an offensive line was 2 years ago, and then this year the O-line is without question improved, and the offensive weapons are without question an improvement over last year.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I would say it's coming together now. At the beginning of this year, when the Bears looked terrible those first four games, they had Tevin Jenkins on injured reserve.
Yep.
Nate Davis was out. I can't remember if it was all family stuff or some injuries.
Yeah. Out nonetheless.
Braxton Jones said. Right now, the Bears have four spots on that offensive line that are pretty well locked down. Good guys. I mean, if they had a good center, they would have one of the best offensive lines in the league. And I think Justin Fields is playing well. He's using the weapons he's got. I think we're seeing him grow into being a franchise quarterback. We've been waiting for this. It took 3 years. Last year was a disaster. He had no help. And you know, you can go look at Kansas City this year. With Pat Mahomes, you know, he's got Travis Kelce, the best tight end ever, and maybe one or two decent wide receivers, and he's struggling. I mean, it's a tough league.
Yeah, it is a tough league, John, and I hear what you're saying. To your last point, you know, he doesn't have anyone over there in Miami. No one. MVS is not – he has a wide receiver room similar to that of the Bears a couple of years ago. I think I just saw a stat that Sam Howell put up more fantasy points this year than Patrick Mahomes. That's wild. I think I need to take a step back and then like reiterate something. And it is that for me, it's not, you know, Justin Fields, does he suck or not? That's not what my stance is. It is that there is uncertainty at the quarterback position. Whoever feels like Justin Fields is going to be good, they within their argument, there are still like three factors that need to happen in order for him to be good. And that's the part that I have a problem with, where it's, dude, what are you talking about? Justin Fields, man. If he just gets a different offensive coordinator and another wide receiver and two more offensive linemen, then we're going to see what's up with Justin. And to me, that is the part where I start to back away from the argument, because I'm like, but wait, we're still, you cannot definitively say he's there or yes, he is that guy. It's if he gets this, I hope that he, and that's just the problem that I have with it. And so for me, it's like, all right, you know what? I don't want to be in that position anymore. And again, you cannot win the Super Bowl every year, right? So you're going to lose a lot. And so if Justin Fields goes somewhere else, they might win, but they ain't winning no Super Bowls every year, right? Hopefully the Bears are winning one of those. I don't know. That's my opinion. But that's why we're taking calls. 312-644-6767. Take a couple more before we get to Corey Wooten. Let's go to D.C. on the road. Line one more up for me, Tyler. D.C., what up? D.C., you there?
Hello?
Yes, talk to me.
Oh, hey, this is Andy. Yeah, I was confused a little bit. So, yeah. Great show, Gabe. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, so I'm kind of in the same position that you are, somewhat on the fence on Fields. To me, the biggest issue with him has been the turnovers, and in particular in the fourth quarter. Now, to his credit, this last game against Detroit, he didn't have any. Mm-hmm. So that's a step in the right direction. This game coming up against Cleveland is a big test. He's facing a really great defense. You remember his debut against them, Myles Garrett was all over him, so hopefully they'll have somebody block for him. I think it's going to look a lot like the Minnesota game, more than likely. To me, you know, these last four games are really an audition. And to me, the most important one is the final exam. I mean, as a Bears fan, our biggest rival, supposedly, is the Green Bay Packers. And we have been in the wilderness basically for the last 30 years. That has been a one-way rivalry since Brett Favre, pretty much, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, what I want to see is Justin Fields and Eberflus and the Bears deflower LaFleur and hand the Packers a loss. LaFleur's first loss against the Bears. He's never been beaten by
the Bears. They play them in the last game of the season. So that'd be great if they do that. And, you know, Bears need to win out if they want to make the playoffs. I love the scenarios. You got that audio for me, Tyler, over there? That I asked for it I sent you the audio that explains how the Bears can make the playoffs. Pull it up for me so we can play that before we go to break. But first, give me Parker. Parker in Woodridge. Parker, talk to me about what you think the Bears are going to do with that number one pick.
All right. So, hey, love your show, first off.
Thanks, Parker.
So, I mean, all Bears fans, you know, despite how much we love Justin, Justin is a baller, great athlete. He's got everything you want in a quarterback in this day and age. However, we all know, like, deep down in our gut, getting the first overall pick 2 years in a row, the Bears, they're going
to
pick Caleb.
They're
going
to
pick him. They have to. And I know it's brutal to hear it, and it's brutal to, like, digest it. They're going to take Caleb. It's not as much of a risk as a lot of people think. First off, like you and a lot of the other callers before me, you know, have said that the situation with the Bears and the offense is a lot better than most rookie quarterbacks would get. Like, look at Bryce. The poor guy has got no protection. He's
nope,
got
no wide receivers, nothing. Right.
He's got no chance. It's not even fair. Not even fair. He seems like an awesome, he seems like a great kid. He seems like a good athlete, too. He looks smart. He just has no chance. However, Caleb Williams, despite some of his struggles this season in college, the situation he's walking into, it's not as risky of a move going with the rookie than most people would think. I know there's like the salary situation. People think, oh, you don't want to have to pay Justin. And yeah, I don't really think they're thinking about the salary. I think they're just thinking of, like you said, you got to swing for the fence in the NFL. You can't just stick with the guy that we all know. He's a heck of a player, but what if we could do better?
Right.
What if Caleb is the guy? What if we have a guy who can throw to Mooney, get other players involved besides Komet and DJ? What if he's there at the first pick? Yeah, you know what I mean?
Of course.
What if he's there?
Listen, he
could be there.
You sound like my brain going in circles about what the possibilities of everything can be, Parker. And I think that's the beauty of where the Bears are at right now and the decision that they have to make. Is that it is not a clear-cut decision. It is one that most people are on the fence about. But I want to encourage you to do this. Remove yourself from your own opinion for a second and put yourself in the shoes of Ryan Poles, a brand new GM who has done a hell of a job building this team up, putting it in the position that it's in right now. And you sit on the number one pick. First of all, you intentionally traded away the number one pick last year because you wanted to see what you had in Justin Fields, and you knew that there was a plethora of quarterbacks coming out that you'd be able to choose from to replace Justin Fields. Now you have the number one pick again. Put yourself in Ryan Poles' shoes. What is he doing? To me, it's unfortunate. But he is selecting a quarterback. He is going to continue to build the Bears. And if he takes Caleb Williams or Drake May or whatever the hell it is, he is going to continue to build this roster. And if Justin Fields can bring back some assets to where the team can be better as a result of it, to me, as a second-year GM, coming in to build at this franchise, that's what I think he'd do, but I'm curious what you think. And you can text in as well. 312-644-6767. We're going to be talking about this for a while, man. And we're also going to be talking about it the remainder of the hour with my next guest, Corey Wooten, former Chicago Bear. He and I do the Bears post-game show on Fox 32 on Sundays with our Miller Lite Brew Reviews. And now we get to bring our greatness to the radio. Corey joins us next. What does he have to say about Justin Fields going up against Cleveland? We'll find out after this. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Goff under pressure and Montez Sweat refused to let go. The sack. After they finally get an explosive play, it's negated with a 10-yard sack.
How about the power of Montez Sweat? And remember, when you're in the pocket, the quarterback, there is no horse collar rule.
That's correct.
So you can grab the quarterback just about anywhere you want except the face mask. Montez Sweat showing off that power.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Little Montez Sweat action right there. That's got to make people feel good. Everybody, get to it. I know Corey's dancing right now. Let me just get to him because I want to talk to him. Joining us right now on the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois, former Northwestern alum, former Chicago Bear, my good friend, Corey Wooten. Corey, welcome to the show.
What's up, my man? And just like the Black Eyed Peas, let's get it started.
I need me some Corey Wooten. Corey, I wish you lived closer, man. I'd be coming over to your house right now, man. I've been telling these guys all week, man. I've just been down in the dumps, man, personally. And
really?
Yeah, and every time I hang out with you, man, you always make me feel a lot better. And I love your energy, bro. So I really needed this right here, man. So let's chat about this real quick. The Bears taking on the Cleveland Browns on Sunday, man. I heard from Justin Fields today, Corey, and he talked about, you know, his first time there and how things are different. Talk to me about the differences from Justin Fields in year one. You know, with Matt Nagy and playing that game in particular, and the ones, you know, before and after, and then where he's at right now.
Yeah, that game, man. We were at an outdoor spot, me and you broadcasting. Remember that game?
Oh my God, I forgot we were together. Yeah. Oh my God,
come on, bro, you can't forget about
you're
that.
You're right. We were together doing that. Oh my God, and we were like, "What the hell is going?" Five wide receivers. Oh my God, I do remember that.
Yep, exactly. We're like, what the heck is going on? He took a million sacks. I think Myles Garrett had 3.5. I think Jadeveon Clowney had like another 2. I mean, they were giving Justin Fields in that offensive line fits. But fast forward to 2023, this offensive line looks a lot different, right? So I'm excited for this game. I think this is a critical game, Gabe. And it's coming off where Justin Fields, I thought, had a good performance. You know, I know me and you have been talking personally off air and everything about Justin Fields and kind of, you know, where you are with him. And you know where I am, you know, where I think he is the future. I think he is talented. I think he's showing what he can do and what he can do with this team. But we had touched about it. I think a lot of people are very nervous of what happened previously with Mitchell Trubisky, and they're trying to transfer some of this juju to Justin Fields. I don't like it.
I mean, I try, you know me, I've been trying to convince myself that Justin Fields is the guy. And I think that I can't figure out where the separation is. Like, what I try to pinpoint it, Corey, and I'm like, it's the inconsistency in play. And then the counter to that is, well, you know, if he had a play caller, an offensive line, and more weapons, then that would eliminate all of that. That would eliminate the inconsistency. Why is that true?
So I think when you talk about quarterbacks in general in this league, and I think even the most talented ones this year have been very up and down, right? Even a guy like Jalen Hurts, you look at Josh Allen, right? MVP type of candidate, perennial Pro Bowler, even Patrick Mahomes. And it's just been a very different year for quarterbacks. But I think with Justin Fields, right, there's no doubt, right, we can both agree that Luke Getsy has to do a better job at times play calling, right? I think we both agree with that. I think the offensive line is where it needs to be, right? I think they're playing pretty well. I think you can always add another weapon and help out any quarterback in there. So I just think he has all the talent in the world, Gabe. And I think you have to continue building around him, because my question you have to ask is Caleb Williams better than – is Drake May better than Justin Fields? And I don't believe that right now.
Not better, but will he be better? I think that's a better question. Will they be better?
Only time will tell, but I think Justin Fields could be a better version of Jalen Hurts.
Okay.
I really do.
We're talking to Corey Wooten, former Chicago Bear, here on 670 The Score. I am Gabe Ramirez. I want you to do me a favor, Corey. I mean, obviously you played in the league for a long time. Talk to me about the drop-off in quarterback play from, you know, from the different levels, right? Like, if we're talking about, you know, like you're a defender going into, you know, a week, and you're like, okay, week, let's just say 8, we're facing quarterback that's in the A level, right? And then we're facing, you know, week 9, we've got the quarterback that's in the B level, and then week 10, it's, you know, somebody got hurt and we're facing the C level quarterback. Talk to me about the like, I don't think that we as a fan base understand what those drop-offs are like, and we too often just put everybody together.
Yeah, I think that's what it becomes sometimes. But the level of drop off is pretty big, right? So I went from playing, you know, a guy like Aaron Rodgers to then Blaine Gabbert, right? And there's a big drop off.
No offense
to Blaine Gabbert.
Seems like
a great guy and all that, but it is what it is, right? The level of drop off is huge, right? And we'd say Aaron Rodgers is an A quarterback, Blaine Gabbert, C, D class quarterback. So the drop off is big. And you look at, holding the football, scared to get hit, seeing ghosts out there. That's what you see with some of these quarterbacks that are on the lower levels. And we even saw it with a guy with Jared Goff this past weekend. There was a couple times where Montez Sweat and company were close to him, and he looked like Sam Darnold. You remember he was seeing ghosts? I thought this was so the sixth sense. I thought Haley Joel Osment part three or something. I didn't know, man. But he was seeing ghosts. He said,
I see defensive ends.
He threw it out there. but that's what pressure will do. So when I think about it, Gabe, and you know where I stand on Justin Fields, like I'm thinking of it from being a former defensive end, right? And what matchup gives you the most fits? And I think a guy like Justin Fields does, right? And just think about how he finished that game. And you know, I know you've been very critical on him, but some of the throws he was throwing at the end, like Darnell Mooney dropped a couple that were right on the money, the huge throw to DJ Moore, Cole Kmet. In that second half, he was pretty dang accurate. He looked good. He looked efficient. And I'm just saying, like, that's a sample size of what he can continue to do. And I think the one good thing that we've seen with him is he's cleaned up the interceptions, right? And that was something early on in his career that he kind of struggled with, right? Yeah. He'd throw a lot of errant balls that were picked. And what we're seeing is him being more efficient with the passing game and avoid some of those picks, right? Fumbles, especially in that Minnesota game, that was something you can't do. But I'm seeing growth. I'm seeing progression. I think fans in general, Gabe, they get impatient, and they want a quarterback to be an A rating right away. And it doesn't always work like that, right? It takes time for some people. You look at a guy like John Elway, right? Early on in his career, people didn't think he could play at all. And they started getting him on the move. He started getting more comfortable. And then all of a sudden, he thrusted this great quarterback. So same thing with Steve Young. So I think people just get impatient, right? And especially the Bears. Think about the Bears situation, Gabe. We have never had a quarterback in Chicago that we can say was elite. Can we agree with that?
Agree. Jay Cutler, I like him a lot. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, but like an top Aaron Rodgers.
Right, like top five quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Drew Brees, yeah. So we've never had that. So I think fans are so impatient, and they just think, oh, let's draft Caleb Williams or let's draft Drake May, and they're going to be our guy now. No, the thing is, why I'm saying pump the brakes on that, because if you continue to build the team, and look what Poles has done. He's loved to trade back, get more picks, because you continue to develop this roster. And when I was thinking about it, I'm like, man, if you draft a guy like Marvin Harrison, right, you rock with Justin Fields, you get Johnny Newton from Illinois, the three technique, who's a stud, Gabe. I watched him playing in the Big Ten this year, last year, arguably one of the best three techniques coming out right now. Quickness, get off, hand usage, disruptive, gets off the football would be a perfect fit for this. And then all of a sudden you add another defensive end in the free agency, and this defense gets a whole lot better. And then the offense, imagine having two weapons with DJ Moore and Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
With an offensive coordinator that is legit. That's a pretty scary team right there.
Yeah, that's a good team. And again, I'm here for this, Corey, because I get it. And the reality is, I mean, if the Bears were picking 14th, we wouldn't even be talking about this right now. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, it'd be like, oh, it's Justin Fields, whatever, because he is good enough that you would just stick with him and you wouldn't be, you know, you probably draft some quarterback in like the fourth, fifth round or something like that, you know, just to have as a backup. But, you know, we don't have the 14th pick. The Bears have the number one pick and the number eight pick. So I think it's because the opportunity is there. And we've just never had an opportunity. I took a spin on the web, Corey, and I tried to look up the quarterbacks that were taken in the top 10 in the last 10 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. So in 2022, not one quarterback was taken in the top 10. That's wild. That's the Aiden Hutchinson year. Okay.
Oh, yep.
All right. So that's 2022. All right. 2021, Trevor Lawrence, good quarterback, right?
Yep.
Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, who was drafted 11th. So, but those three were taken, 1, 2, 3. 2020, top 10 quarterbacks now only. Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa. I think you'd rather have either one of those over Justin Fields. 2019, Kyler Murray, number one. Oh, Justin Herbert was 2022?
Yeah, oh, no, 2020. 21, right? 2020, yeah, he's 2020.
Oh, but Herbert was outside of the top 10.
Yep. No, no, he was like six.
Oh, six. Okay, yeah, you're right. Why didn't that pop up?
What else? Top 10, for
my
sure.
My bad. Thanks for the catch, Tyler Ferringo. 2018, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen drafted seventh. Mm-hmm. 2017, Mitch drafted second, Patrick Mahomes 10th. Deshaun Watson's in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then 2016, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz. The point I'm trying to make is there are certain years where there are surefire quarterbacks that have come out. And there are certain years where they're not. And I think this is a year where people feel strongly that, you know, there is that Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, Kyler Murray type quarterback that can be a difference maker for your team.
Mm-hmm. I understand that, but one name that you brought up, right, really has me intrigued. Tua, right?
Okay.
When he first got to Miami, bro, they was ready to push him to the side. He can't play. He's trash. He's this. Insert Mike McDaniel. Obviously, he's got Tyreek Hill. And then all of a sudden, he's an MVP caliber candidate, right? Pro bowler. One of the best quarterbacks in the league. Why do you think that is? They were ready to be done with him. But that's the point I'm making is that see how much a play caller, offensive coordinator that knows what they're doing, how they can elevate a quarterback's game. So he took Tua to a guy that was below average. And we could agree that Justin Fields is not below average, right?
Oh, agreed.
Yeah, and took Tua to a Pro Bowl MVP type candidate. So that is what I'm saying. And that's real. That is. You look at what the Texans have been able to do with C.J. Stroud, right? Who's their offensive coordinator? Bobby Slowick, right? He was in San Francisco for 6 years, learning under Kyle Shanahan, Mike McDaniel, all these other guys. So that's all I'm saying. Okay. The coordinator does play a huge part in a quarterback's success, no doubt about it, right? I think we could all agree with that.
100%. All right, we're talking to Corey Wooten, former Chicago Bear here on 670 The Score. I'm Gabe Ramirez. It's going to be interesting to see what the Bears do, but you know, there's still four more games to be played, Corey, right? I mean, just like we can agree that there's growth with Justin Fields, we can also agree that there's been inconsistency, but he's been playing consistent as of late. So what we're doing is a lot of us are holding our breath, wondering if there's going to be another dud in there or a couple of duds in these last four games. What are you expecting to see against the Cleveland Browns? We'll be together. I'll get the address in a second, but we'll be together. What are you expecting to see?
Well, I'm expecting the Bears to dominate this one. Supposedly, Cleveland is without both of their starting offensive tackles.
Right.
So this thing about the way the defense has been playing, the defensive line, I know a guy like Montez Sweat is licking his chops, ready to go against whatever second-string guy is in there. It's unfortunate that Yannick is on IR with that broken ankle. But I'm hoping another guy can step up, maybe Walker and company. But I just really have loved how this team has played since Montez Sweat has arrived. I think he's elevated everybody's game. He's reinvigorated this defensive line. Look at the pressure that Justin Jones, Jervon Dexter, Zach Pickens have gotten recently since Montez Sweat, right? And there is a huge difference between the amount of rush and cover. Look at all the picks with Jalen Johnson and company. That this is how that Tampa 2 scheme operates. Off the rush, and then all of a sudden the cover benefits. So that's what we're seeing right now. So I expect the Bears to get a lot of sacks this game. I think this is a confidence-building game for them. I expect a guy like Montez Sweat to at least have two in this game, right? And if I'm them, I'm really trying to get after them. But the one guy that you really got to watch out, and years past, he really wasn't as big of a threat, David Njoku, the tight end. He really feels like he's starting to come into his own.
Especially with Joe Flacco, right?
Exactly. Because you know Joe Flacco is a veteran guy that, hey, had great tight ends, and he's going to go look for him. So that's a guy that I'm kind of nervous about because he's one of those guys, Gabe. It's a freak of nature, 6'4", 6'5", 260 pounds, runs a 4.5, stretches the field, can jump, and he's catching the ball a lot better than he has throughout his career. And we're seeing him finally come. And he's on pace to go for 900, 1,000 yards this season. So that's one of the matchups that I'm going to look forward to seeing. Hopefully the Bears can get after Joe Flacco and eliminate that. But they got Amari Cooper as well. So I expect the Bears to win this game, right? I think they are peaking at the right time, Gabe, right? People were critical when I said, hey, you know, the Bears are going to put up 28 on Detroit. Oh, really? Oh, no, man. The Bears are peaking at the right time. Defensively, they're playing lights out. They're getting turnovers. They're getting pressure. And then offensively, stuff is starting to come. They're getting the run game going. Justin Fields is being more efficient. He's not turning the football over. So I think this is a perfect matchup. And the Bears, they're still in the hunt. So you're telling me there's a chance.
You're telling me. Tyler, you got the audio? Listen to this, Corey. Listen to this.
It's possible for the Chicago Bears to get the number one overall pick and make the playoffs this season. Yep, it can happen. First, the Bears need to win out. Then they need the Panthers to finish with the worst record in the NFL, which they currently have at 1-12. Reminder that the Bears own the Panthers' first rounder from this year from the trade that gave the Panthers the 2023 number one overall pick that they eventually used on Bryce Young. Now here's where it gets interesting. They need the Vikings to lose 3 of their next 4 games, both the Seahawks and Rams to lose at least 2 games, and any 2 of the Bucks, Falcons, and Saints to lose at least 2 games. If all of those things happen, then the Bears would be playoff bound while holding the number one overall pick for the 2024 draft.
Hey.
Crazier things have happened. Hey! Right?
Doesn't sound too difficult.
I like that. Vikings, Bears just have to take...
Right, Bears got to handle business, and that's going to be the difficult part, because the Cleveland Browns most certainly want to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
The Green Bay Packers want to make the playoffs, especially after losing that last game against the Giants. Atlanta wants to win the NFC South. Mm-hmm. And Arizona is still trying to get their footing underneath them. So you're going to be playing some teams that are going to be motivated to win. You're not just going to have any pushovers. But I do agree that I think the Bears are playing at a different pace. Corey, I'm going to keep you for a couple more minutes, all right?
Yeah, sure.
Just a couple more minutes. We'll take a quick break. More Corey Wooten right after this. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
And I got one of my favorites, Corey Wooten, hanging out with me, former Chicago Bear. Also my co-host on Fox 32 on Sundays as we tackle the Chicago Bears at the Miller Lite Brewing Views. This Sunday, Corey and I are going to be at, I know I'm going to butcher his name, Corey, Marcotti's or Marcotte's? Marcotte's?
I don't know, man. I don't want to say the wrong thing, so it's on you, brother.
The funny thing is, Corey and I, we film these like promos that they air on Fox 32. We film them at the beginning of the season. So we've already said this name, but it just happened to be, 5 months ago, probably at this point. I think it's Marcotte's.
Yeah. Marcotte's. Well, last time we were doing the promos, bro, we could not stop laughing. We were laughing for about 5 minutes straight.
What was it? What was it that had us laughing, cracking up?
I think I looked at you or something, and you're like, man, stop it. You said I was making you laugh or something.
I just remember we got the giggles, and we couldn't stop, man. Marcotte's Bar and Grill in Oak Forest. Corey and I are going to be there. So if you want to watch the game with, some good people, man, we always have packed houses. They always have good drink specials. We give away tickets to the Bears games. We give away a lot of swag from Miller Lite. So, again, this Sunday, Corey and I are going to be at Marcotte's Bar and Grill, 15501 South Cicero. Man, it's 2023. Google it. Marcotte's Bar and Grill in Oak Forest. That's where we're going to be. Come hang out with us. All right, Corey.
I almost broke your hand this week. You tell them about that real quick. I got super excited that the Bears made a huge play. I think it was a pick and a touchdown. I slapped Gabe's hand so hard. Dude. And then after that, he was like, no more.
Elbows only.
He was pounding me after that. He's like, nah, I'm good, bro. He gave me his elbow.
here's the thing, right? Like, Corey's my friend, and I treat Corey like I would my regular-sized friends, right? Like, my friends that are 5'10", 180. Like, I treat Corey like that, like when I talk trash to him, whatever it is. And then I always get reminded every once every couple of weeks that Corey's big as hell. and strong as hell and played football in the NFL. I forget that sometimes. So he's sitting there like, yeah, baby. And I'm like, yeah. And I go to go slap his hand. It was like a cartoon hand afterwards where my hand was red and blown up and was like throbbing. And I'm like, bro, I just tried to shake hands with a 6'7", 280 guy who is played. Corey's the nicest guy. You forget that he has a little bit of an edge to him. But yeah, never again, bro. Fist buster. And then I felt so bad because Corey would come up to me and be like, no, no, Gabe, regular handshake on this one. Regular.
he was like, he's like pulling his hand back.
No. We ain't doing that anymore. But we're most certainly going to have some handshakes, though, on Sunday, exactly. Corey, when the Bears take on the Cleveland Browns. It'll be our last Bruin view of the season. And, you know, what do you think the coaching staff is going to look like next year?
So I think they're leaning towards keeping Eberflus. I think just the way the defense is played, and we were talking about this, when you get a defense, especially if they continue the season how they've been playing, you have to keep Eberflus. The way he has this defense playing, and you think about adding another defensive end opposite Sweat, and you have a three technique like potentially Johnny Newton from Illinois. This defense could be really scary. And then all of a sudden you say, Poles, you control who the offensive coordinator is, right? Maybe you bring your guy, the enemy. Maybe you bring somebody else. You have to have a play caller that can design plays for whatever quarterback's in there. So I think Eberflus and the defensive staff are probably going to be here. I have a hard time believing that Luke Getsy is going to keep his job.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, it'd be a tough sell. Yeah. To be like, hey, we're bringing back Luke Getsy. Everybody'd be like, no, this is not what should be happening right now. But I mean, I think it's for the best of the team, right? I think you gave him the opportunity from the very beginning. And I think that's what happened with both of them, all three of them for that matter, right? Getsy, Poles, and Eberflus. It was like, hey, we're going to tear this thing down. You guys, if you guys do well, you can keep your jobs. And if you don't, then we're going to move on. And that's exactly what's happened. I feel Ryan Poles has set the Bears up, you know, in the present and for the future. I think Eberflus has done a good enough job to keep it. But if you're looking at the three of them, who probably is the odd man out, for me, it's Luke Getsy without question. But what is that like, Corey? I mean, you dealt with some different defensive coordinators. I mean, obviously, it might be harder for you to talk about on the offensive side. But is it as hard as people say when you bring in, like, a new coordinator to do something, to change up the team?
Yeah, so the example I always tell you about is the 2012 season when we played under Lovie Smith, right? We were top five defense, led the league in turnovers, playing lights out, right? That was the year we started out 7-1, yeah. And then all of a sudden we finished 10-6, right? Lovie got fired on the last game of the season when Minnesota beat Green Bay and wow, they went in the playoffs. I said, I kicked us out. And then we go basically with the same team, with the exception of Brian Urlacher. And right, like, Urlacher's a leader, great guy, but he was towards the tail end of his career. And this is no disrespect to him by any means, but we had the same team with the exception of Brian Urlacher, right? And they tried to run the same scheme with Mel Tucker, right? Who was just at Michigan State.
We don't have and that to end
it up. I didn't mean to bring that up, but but we went from top five to dead last in every category, right? Because it's not the same. When you have things set up defensively, and I'm a big proponent of this, defense wins championships. I really do. I think if they would have kept Lovie Smith and got the offense in order the way we were playing in 2012, that we were a championship defense, right?
Without question.
Yeah, like, it, no doubt about it, right? If the offense could have got things going, and that's the thing. Sometimes when you put too much pressure on the defense and the offense can't make plays when they need to, that's where the disconnect was that year. And I think offensively, we're seeing they're making enough plays to win games, right? With the exception of the Vikings game, that was just a poor game all around, both sides of the football. You know, their offense, our offense. But I just think this offense is going to continue to improve, and I think the defense still has room to improve because they don't even have the arsenal of pass rushers that Philly has, that San Francisco, and they're about two guys away defensively from being a really dominant team, like challenging a San Francisco or Philly. And the past few weeks, they played better than Philly or San Francisco, honestly, on paper. the way they've been playing these past couple weeks. So imagine when they add that pass rusher, you add the three technique. It's going to be pretty scary.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. It's going to be a great game. Can't wait to watch it. Corey, appreciate you hanging out with me as always. You already know. Go put the kids to bed, man. Enjoy your day, and then I'll see you on Sunday, all right?
All right, brother, man.
Corey Wooten, former Chicago Bear, hanging out, man. He's it's always great because, you know, in this business, you know, people will be like, yeah, dude, get me on the show, you know, whatever. And you're like, dude, of course, I'll get you on the show every week if I can. And Corey's the guy where it's like, once you've had him on a couple times and you're like, he's don't want to jump back on the show again. And we'll hang out on Sunday and he'll be like, you going to get me on the show this week? I'm like, oh my God, yeah. And I'm going to keep you for an hour. If I can get a free Corey Wooten guest appearance on my show every week, that's great. And I love that he does it, man. He's a great dude, man. I got to be honest, man. One thing about this job too, like running into players is that, you know, from a fan's perspective, you're like, oh, you know, it's a player. And you're like, oh my God. And then you forget that like they have the potential to be very, very cool people that you'd be friends with anyway. And that's what's happened with Corey, man. 6 years we've been hanging out and he's one of the best dudes, man. He's one of the best ones out there. I'm glad we had a chance to talk, especially today. All right. It's Gabe Ramirez, 670 The Score. Got another hour with you guys. And in the 8 o'clock hour, we get a chance to talk to Joe Cowley, who is going to be telling us about the Chicago Bulls and what's been going on with them. But on the other side, I want to briefly talk about a couple of things. Ben Roethlisberger talking about the Steelers and the current state of the team. I want to talk about Bill Belichick and whether the rumors are true about his future with the New England Patriots. And then I want to drop a couple of gems about Champions League soccer. My team made it for the first time in like 30 years, and then they bowed out quickly. And so I'll give you guys a little bit of that information as well before we get to Joe Cowley. We'll do all that next. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
And I got one of my favorites, Corey Wooten, hanging out with me, former Chicago Bear. Also my co-host on Fox 32 on Sundays as we tackle the Chicago Bears at the Miller Lite Brewing Views. This Sunday, Corey and I are going to be at, I know I'm going to butcher this name, Corey, Marcotti's or Marcotte's? Marcotte's?
I don't know, man. I don't want to say the wrong thing, so because it's on you, brother.
The funny thing is, Corey and I, we film these like promos that they air on Fox 32. We film them at the beginning of the season. So we've already said this name, but it just happened to be, you know, 5 months ago, probably at this point. I think it's Marcotti's.
Yeah. Marcotti's. Well, last time we were doing the promos, bro, we could not stop laughing. We were laughing for about 5 minutes straight.
What was it? What was it that had us laughing, cracking up?
I think it was... I think I looked at you or something, and you're like, man, stop it. You said I was making you laugh or something.
We got the giggles, and we couldn't stop, man. But yeah, Marcotti's Bar and Grill in Oak Forest. Corey and I are going to be there. So if you want to watch the game with, you know, some good people, man, we always have packed houses. They always have good drink specials. We give away tickets to the Bears games. We give away a lot of swag from Miller Lite. So again, this Sunday, Corey and I are going to be at Marcotti's Bar and Grill, 15501 South Cicero. Man, it's 2023. Google it. Marcotti's Bar and Grill in Oak Forest. That's where we're going to be. Come hang out with us. All right, Corey.
I almost broke, real quick, I almost broke your hand this week. You tell them about that real quick. I got super excited that the Bears made a huge play. I think it was a pick and a touchdown. I slapped Gabe's hand so hard. Dude. And then after that, he was like, no more.
Elbows only.
He was pounding me after that. He's like, nah, I'm good, bro. He's giving me his elbow.
here's the thing, right? Like, Corey's my friend, and I treat Corey like I would my regular-sized friends, right? Like, my friends that are 5'10", 180. Like, I treat Corey like that, like when I talk trash to him, whatever it is. And then I always get reminded every couple of weeks that Corey's big as hell and strong as hell and played football in the NFL. I forget that sometimes. So he's sitting there like, yeah, baby. And I'm like, yeah. And I go to go slap his hand. Corey, it was like a cartoon hand afterwards where my hand was red and blown up and was like throbbing. And I'm like, bro, I just tried to shake hands with a 6'7", 280 guy who is played. Corey's the nicest guy. You forget that he has a little bit of an edge to him. But yeah, never again, bro. Fist bust. And then I felt so bad because Corey would come up to me and be like, no, Gabe, regular handshake on this one. Regular.
he was like at a distance. He's like pulling his hand back.
No. We ain't doing that anymore. But we're most certainly going to have some handshakes, though, on Sunday, exactly. Corey, when the Bears take on the Cleveland Browns. It'll be our last Bruin view of the season. And, you know, what do you think the coaching staff is going to look like next year?
So I think they're leaning towards keeping Eberflus. I think just the way the defense is played, and we were talking about this, when you get a defense, especially if they continue the season how they've been playing, you have to keep Eberflus. The way he has this defense playing, and you think about adding another defensive end opposite Sweat, and you have a three technique like potentially Johnny Newton from Illinois. This defense could be really scary. And then all of a sudden you say, Poles, you control who the offensive coordinator is, right? Maybe you bring your guy, Bieniemy. Maybe you bring somebody else. You have to have a play caller that can design plays for whatever quarterback's in there. So I think Eberflus and the defensive staff are probably going to be here. I have a hard time believing that Luke Getsy is going to keep his job.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, it'd be a tough sell. Yeah. To be like, hey, we're bringing back Luke Getsy. Everybody be like, no, this is not what should be happening right now. But I mean, I think it's for the best of the team, right? I think you gave him the opportunity from the very beginning. And I think that's what happened with both of them, all three of them for that matter, right? Getsy, Poles, and Eberflus. It was like, hey, we're going to tear this thing down. You guys, if you guys do well, you can keep your jobs. And if you don't, then we're going to move on. And that's exactly what's happened. I feel Ryan Poles has set the Bears up, you know, in the present and for the future. I think Eberflus has done a good enough job to keep it. But if you're looking at the three of them, who probably is the odd man out, for me, it's Luke Getsy without question. But what is that like, Corey? I mean, you dealt with some different defensive coordinators. I mean, obviously, it might be harder for you to talk about on the offensive side. But is it as hard as people say when you bring in, like, a new coordinator to do something, to change up the team?
Yeah, so the example I always tell you about is the 2012 season when we played under Lovie Smith, right? We were top five defense, led the league in turnovers, playing lights out, right? That was the year we started out 7-1, and then all of a sudden we finished 10-6, right? Lovie got fired on the last game of the season when Minnesota beat Green Bay, and they went in the playoffs. I said, I kicked us out. And then we go basically with the same team, with the exception of Brian Urlacher, and right, like, Urlacher's a leader, great guy, but he was towards the tail end of his career, and there's no disrespect to him by any means, but we had the same team with the exception of Brian Urlacher, right? And they tried to run the same scheme with Mel Tucker, right, who was just at Michigan State.
We don't have and that to end it
up. I didn't mean to bring that up, but but we went from top five to dead last in every category, right, because it's not the same. When you have things set up defensively, and I'm a big proponent of this, defense wins championships. I really do. I think if they would have kept Lovie Smith and got the offense in order the way we were playing in 2012, that we were a championship defense, right?
Without question.
Yeah, like it, no doubt about it, right? If the offense could have got things going, and that's the thing. Sometimes when you put too much pressure on the defense and the offense can't make plays when they need to, that's where the disconnect was that year. And I think offensively, we're seeing they're making enough plays to win games, right? With the exception of the Vikings game, that was just a poor game all around, both sides of the football. You know, their offense, our offense, but I just think this offense is going to continue to improve, and I think the defense still has room to improve because they don't even have the arsenal of pass rushers that Philly has, that San Francisco, and they're about two guys away defensively from being a really dominant team, like challenging a San Francisco or Philly. And the past few weeks, they played better than Philly or San Francisco, honestly, on paper, the way they've been playing these past couple weeks. So imagine when they add that pass rusher, you add the three technique, it's going to be pretty scary.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. It's going to be a great game. Can't wait to watch it. Corey, appreciate you hanging out with me as always. You already know. Go put the kids to bed, man. Enjoy your day, and then I'll see you on Sunday, all right?
All right, brother, man.
Corey Wooten, former Chicago Bear, hanging out, man. He's it's always great because, you know, in this business, you know, people will be like, yeah, dude, get me on the show, you know, whatever. And you're like, dude, of course, I'll get you on the show every week if I can. And Corey's the guy where it's like, once you've had him on a couple times and you're like, he's don't want to jump back on the show again. And we'll hang out on Sunday and he'll be like, you going to get me on the show this week? I'm like, oh my God, yeah. And I'm going to keep you for an hour. If I can get a free Corey Wooten guest appearance on my show every week, that's great. And I love that he does it, man. He's a great dude, man. I got to be honest, man. There's one thing about this job too, like running into players is that, you know, from a fan's perspective, you're like, oh, you know, it's a player. And you're like, oh my God. And then you forget that like, they have the potential to be very, very cool people that you'd be friends with anyway. And that's what's happened with Corey, man. 6 years we've been hanging out, and he's one of the best dudes, man. He's one of the best ones out there. I'm glad we had a chance to talk, especially today. All right, it's Gabe Ramirez, 670 The Score. Got another hour with you guys. And in the 8 o'clock hour, we get a chance to talk to Joe Cowley, who is going to be telling us about the Chicago Bulls and what's been going on with them. But on the other side, I want to briefly talk about a couple of things. Ben Roethlisberger talking about the Steelers and the current state of the team. I want to talk about Bill Belichick and whether the rumors are true about his future with the New England Patriots. And then I want to drop a couple of gems about Champions League soccer. My team made it for the first time in like 30 years, and then they bowed out quickly. And so I'll give you guys a little bit of that information as well before we get to Joe Cowley. We'll do all that next. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.